You got an opinion? Pick up the phone and call. The lines are open at 503-250-1080 or toll-free 1-800-727-5955. Rick Emerson on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right, it's 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Monday. Coming up this hour, we got the Jolie from the front desk at How Chicks Think. We have the worst story of the day right here, which we've graciously saved until the new lunch hour is complete. So we've got that this hour. Geek Watch coming up. Snuff Watch. Peanut. We got all this stuff together. There's tons of stuff. We're going to get right through it here in just a moment. Coming up in the third half of the show, today's top five non-traditional holiday films of all time. Rick, I was tuning in on Friday when Matt mentioned going on vacation for a week over the summer. I want to volunteer to be his replacement for a week. I'll come in, bring beer, and talk out of my ass. You'll never even know he's gone. It'll be great. Happy holidays, Adam. And this, Rick, I would like to congratulate you and KOTK for making my life a living hell as of late. I've been a loyal internet listener for the last 3 years, and lately it's been a major struggle to get onto the Surfer Network streaming server. To listen to your show every day, I have to start the streaming program before 10 a.m., or else I won't get a slot to join in on the fun and frivolity. Congratulations on becoming the most popular internet station on the Surfer Network system, and the only station that is regularly beyond capacity. Keep up the good work. Right. Well, we're doing the best we can. We're talking to the Surfer Network guys. They're attempting to kind of free up some more bandwidth. But yeah, the kind of the 1-2-3 punch of Henry and then us and then Likas. It just uses a huge amount of bandwidth for those guys. So the there's only so many slots available, and it does tend to fill up pretty quickly during like the 10 to the 7 slots. So yeah, best to get on early there. 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. Here's Tim Riley in the KOTK Newsroom.
And now, it's not just news, it's news with Tim Riley, live from the newsroom of Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
The next time you hear a Portland police officer tell you to drop the effing gun, don't flush. They're trained to do that. Of course, you should drop the gun. In an easygoing city known for its civility, the Portland Police Bureau condones the use of profanity by officers in certain limited circumstances as a tool to de-escalate volatile encounters. Robert King, president of the Portland Police Association, says there are more pressing public safety issues than profanity by police officers, and he also thinks the public understands that profanity can be useful in many circumstances. I would think citizens would rather have them use profanity than physical or deadly force.
It should be noted, by the way, that you actually can't use profanity when talking to a cop, though, because it's the sort of thing that'll get you cuffed, both literally and figuratively.
Well, time for a penis watch, a double one.
Take a look at my enormous penis, and my troubles start a melting away.
Take a look at my enormous penis,
and everything is going my way.
So here we go with part one. From Nairobi comes word a Kenyan man chopped off one of his testicles in an argument with his wife.
That'll show her.
And then walked naked to a police station to report the incident. Police rushed 26-year-old Stephen Ogala to a hospital after he stumbled into the police station in the border town of Busia, in western Kenya, bleeding heavily. He said he did it because he had a disagreement with his wife. If we get evidence that he tried to take his life, we may charge him because it's a criminal offense to chop off your own testicles.
Do you think he even wander around the house deciding what implement to use, or is it just like use the first thing that's sort of handy, you know?
Steak knife? In Nairobi, you probably don't have that many.
it's everything. You just do everything with a brick there. Doesn't matter what it is. You know, whether you're slicing lettuce or removing part of your anatomy, you just use the rock for everything.
More fun, this time from South Africa. 5 youths have had their penises amputated after botched circumcisions in the Eastern Cape since the beginning of November. The spokesman said 4 of the amputations were performed at a hospital in Pondoland, and the 5th was in Huwu area of Queenstown. The victims, the youths are victims of traditional surgeons using illegal circumcision tools, and, they went to an illegal circumcision school as well.
Crazy Ahmed's discount foreskin removal.
And the department is fighting to eliminate these. Apparently they're...
It doesn't... I mean, I don't want to put an unpleasant image in anybody's head, although I think that ship has sailed several times today already. But it doesn't seem like it's all that difficult to do, right? I mean, it does seem like a pretty straightforward operation. I mean, especially if you're just some guy doing discount circumcisions in a back alley somewhere. You're obviously not all that concerned with, the patient's comfort level and, sanitary, sterile conditions. So it seems like, a good set of gardening shears and some Bufferin, and you're probably ready to go. I don't understand exactly how it is you botch it. Like, where's the... it's just, you know what it is? It's like when you get, here's exactly what it's like. It's like when you buy a brand new bottle of aspirin at Safeway and it has that big plastic wrapping around the top that you have to take off before you can pop the lid and remove the cotton. That's pretty much the deal, right? And sometimes there's a little tab that you pull that, that helps you take the plastic wrapping off the top, but sometimes there isn't. And then when there isn't, you have to get a kitchen knife, and you have to circle all the way around and then take the plastic off it. I mean, I don't really understand the X factor here. It seems like if you had to do this, you'd know how to do it. Am I spending too much time talking about something you don't want to know about?
Not again. I mean, it's people's own fault. If you're following a handwritten sign that says circumcision's pointing to a back alley, chances are you're doing the wrong thing.
Circumcision and also snake charming. All right, there's your penis watch
take
for
a look at my enormous penis. My troubles start a-melting away. Bow, bow, I take bow. A look at my enormous penis. And everything is going my way.
Ba-dum, bum, 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 bum.
Well, sending out recently for the wedding of some of her friends in Alexandria, Virginia, Ken Wolf expected the worst. Surely enough, about halfway through the ceremony, a female acquaintance tried to take his hand. Mr. Wolf is a government worker. He's one of a growing number of Americans who thinks that hand-holding has gotten out of hand. Many people say they noticed hand-holding breaking out at events, and they wouldn't expect it. Some Boston Red Sox fans were aghast to see it in the stands during tense moments of the playoff in October. Ministers and rabbis say hand-holding during grace of family meals is on the rise. Miss Manners, the etiquette guru, addressed the issue of hand-holding in church in a column last week.
We've become a much more touchy country as of late, and I don't know how I feel about that. There's certain countries that have certain ideas of personal space, and Americans have always been we're sort of in the middle ground. Because it's like, there's some, especially some cultures and ethnicities where everybody just hugs and kisses for no readily apparent reason. It's like it's somebody you haven't seen in 5 seconds, and they got to, kiss you on both cheeks and, grope one of your buttocks or something. And then there's other countries that are very standoffish, that's very, very sort of removed in the sense of interpersonal contact. But Americans have always had this gray area, but lately it's like, this is people that's like, do you do this where you'll meet people and it's people or people that you know, but they're in this weird nether region of personal relation where you don't know whether you're supposed to hug them or not. And it's like you see them, and especially if you haven't seen them in a few months, and you're sort of walking towards them, and you're wondering if they're going to try to hug you, and if they try to hug you, what do you do? And sometimes they don't try to hug you. Like this happened with Laura and I know this with this female couple we know, and it's like I don't know, and it's like I would say that we're friends, we've known each other for a few years, but it's like we don't live in the same state, we don't see each other all that often, and. You go to meet them, and it's like, and then they do that thing where when you, you say, hey, how are you? Good to see you again. And they're standing like 8 inches away from you, right? Which is closer than is just sort of, casually standing next to you. But you don't know whether you're supposed to make the first. And if you don't try to hug them and they do it, then they think you're a big, dick or whatever. It's just, it's very awkward. I wash my hands of the whole thing. I'm not a big fan of hugging or touching or anything at all. In fact, I'd really prefer it if I could just sort of travel the world in a hermetically sealed bubble and just try to avoid any sort of physical or emotional contact with anybody at all. It just makes things a lot easier. All right, here's Tim Riley.
Georgia beauty queen is behind bars. Sharon Nicole Redmond, who holds the title of Miss Savannah, turned herself into police, and she faces a murder charge being held without bail in the death of Kenneth Shorter, her boyfriend. He died yesterday after being shot during an argument with Redmond about another woman. Redmond's lawyer says she shot Shorter in self-defense and had a permit to carry the weapon because she had been stalked in the past. According to the Miss Savannah website, Redmond is a double major summa cum laude graduate who is proceeding to get a master's degree in education.
Okay. We'll just quit that one now. Here's Dave on a cell phone. You're on Hot Talk and Eddie KJK. What's up?
Hey, Rick, just talking about the touchy-feely up of America, I guess you'd call it.
Yeah.
If we keep with the touchy-feely stuff, we're going to be a bunch of gay McGayersteins and become the French.
Well, that's the thing, is the Europeans are all about that. You know, European men are all about the... You know, and to me, it's not an issue of, like, homophobia or whatever. It's just, I just don't like people touching me. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
And you get people...
I don't want to become the French. I like being an American. I have a 3-foot space around me. Stay out of it.
That's what I'm saying. And in America, especially, you'll get men that do this in America because you get these sort of Alan Alda-type men that want to let you know how in touch with their feelings they are and how they're sensitive.
Yeah.
And so
yeah.
The guys that always... And they're all sort of like David Cross's character on Arrested Development. They're all these sort of arty kind of guys that don't want to come up and, like... Give you like the guys who are like you know the always clutching like a Piers Anthony book underneath
well,
one arm.
It all started with that show 30 something.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's Ken Olin and Timothy Busfield.
Let's all cry and be touchy feely and yeah. No. I'm an American. I'm from the West and I like 3 foot of space and stay away from.
That's what I'm saying. Just don't. Yeah. When in doubt, don't touch me.
How about Geek Watch,
Jim Riley? Here's your Geek Watch from Monday.
High-speed modem is intolerably slow.
In the Quasar Dilemma, remember you used to...
Just a television show. That's all, okay?
Right, but... Because we were wondering if the quantum flux... Now, just listen.
There is no quantum flux. There's no auxiliary. There's no goddamn ship. You got it?
Energize.
Car-fired movie fans have spotted more than 40 mistakes in the final installment of the Lord of the Rings trilogy. They so far have submitted 45 continuity blunders to the website moviemistakes.com, which says some more coming in the future. The mostly differences in the appearance of characters from scene to scene, such as a scar that moves from Frodo's right cheek to the left cheek. Some people assume it's malicious, but we never mean to be. Says the website owner. It only started to point out a few things that people might not have seen before. I do realize there are so many people out there.
Man, I always wonder about the people who spot that kind of stuff. It's like, how many times do you have to see? It's like in the Fellowship of the Ring. In the theater, although there's this scene where they're in the Shire and there's like a car driving by in the background. Although I've never seen it because somebody pointed it out to Peter Jackson in the theater and he took it out of the, you know, he went back and removed it. And so if you see it on HBO or on DVD or something, it's not there anymore. But you got to wonder, like, how many times you got to see a movie in the theater for you to notice a minuscule, like a Jetta driving by, you know, the size of a pinhead driving by in, like, the uppermost left-hand corner of the screen or something at some point. There's just no way. There's whole websites. There's just a whole books devoted to that.
And in an all-singing episode of Buffy the Vampire Slayer, it's in the running to be the end of the greatest musical of all time. That's what it says here. It will battle it out with productions such as Chicago Cabaret and The Sound of Music. For a British Channel 4 special, the shows are among those in the top 20 for the station's countdown of the 100 greatest musicals to be screened later this week. The channel has unveiled the 20 most popular choices of viewers who voted online but not ranked them in order. It was the only TV entry in the top 20, and there is only one animated feature that is The Lion King. The most recent film is Moulin Rouge from 2001 with the oldest, The Wizard of Oz, 1939.
The Wizard of Oz isn't a full-on musical, is it? How many songs are there in The Wizard of Oz?
Oh, there aren't that many.
Yeah, it's just Somewhere Over the Rainbow and Follow the Yellow Brick Road, right? Isn't that it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that doesn't count. That's not a freaking musical. Even I know that. Yeah. All right.
Yes,
now, and clearly the answer to that is The Sound of Music. Everyone knows that. Sound of Music is the greatest musical of all time, closely followed by West Side Story. Anybody who's got a problem with that should just piss off. Because there's no... What else are you going to say? It's not even in dispute. There's your Geek Watch.
By Grabthar's hammer, by the sons of Warvan, I shall avenge you.
Next.
Ooh, loneliness and cheeseburgers are a dangerous mix.
Speaking of The Sound of Music and Christmas, let me ask you this. When is it that a few of my favorite things became a Christmas song? Have you noticed that there's an astonishing number of Christmas compilations that include my favorite things as some sort of a Christmas carol? It's not. I mean, that.
No, I haven't.
No, it's on two different Christmas compilations that I've seen in the stores, and I'm watching the Barry Manilow Christmas Live by Request last weekend, and there it is. Halfway through, he busts out my favorite things. I've got this kind of like weird hard rock Christmas compilation at home too, and there's a hard rock cover of my favorite things. It's one of those songs. It's sort of been like grandfathered in or something as a holiday carol. Here's Tim Riley.
TV tonight, Arrested Development. Anybody watching that?
Arrested Development is the finest sitcom currently on the air. And I got to tell you this, since Futurama got canceled, and since, like, Curb Your Enthusiasm hasn't returned yet. Arrested Development is currently the funniest thing on the air. It's Portia de Rossi, Jason Bateman, David Cross, Jeffrey Tambor. I mean, it really is a, you know, pretty much an all-star cast. It's fantastic. Produced and by and narrated by Ron Howard. It's just astonishingly good. I mean, it's just a stunningly hilarious show. No laugh track, completely devoid of sentiment. Very rarely do they learn anything or have any lesson. I mean, it's smart, it's funny, it's, it really is the closest thing, quality-wise, to a show like The Office that we have here in America right now. I mean, it's probably not going to make it more than one more season, but you really should be watching it right now.
Dogma's on tonight with Ben Affleck and Linda Florentino. Isn't Matt Damon in this?
Yeah.
His name's not listed on it.
It's the same, you know, it's the annual Kevin Smith talent show, where he and all his friends get together and put on a little program for us.
Big with Tom Hanks and Elizabeth Perkins. A Wishing Machine turns a boy into a 35-year-old man with a fun job and girlfriend. Directed by Penny Marshall. MSNBC investigates a mentally ill man who's pushing the path of a subway.
Jesus! What the hell?
Merry Christmas from MSNBC Investigates.
That's got to be a short program.
It's an hour.
When they show from different angles?
Probably.
What are you doing? You know, that's got to be... There you go. And then we all go out for lunch.
And what's our movie of the night? Madonna was swept away.
Yeah, okay. First, before we talk about Madonna swept away, don't forget we have to read the worst story you've ever heard.
Oh, yeah.
Now that the lunch hour's over, by the way. We'll do this worst story, and we have some sound cuts here we'll get through before the break. But I got to tell you about Madonna swept away. Madonna, for that to be like the worst Madonna movie ever takes some doing, too, because that means it's got to be worse than Body of Evidence, which was filmed right here in Portland, Oregon. And I'll tell you right now that I haven't seen the entire thing, but I've seen, like, bits and pieces. I've seen enough. I've seen it sort of, like, in its disparate parts. I've never seen it front to back, but you don't really need to. I mean... Madonna's movie career is like the living embodiment of the whole exception that proves the rule business, because Desperately Seeking Susan is like the only decent thing she ever made. I mean, I suppose you might, if you're being really generous, you might count Evita, but God, has any person ever made such an uninterrupted string of terrible films and yet continuously been given more roles? I mean, Ben Affleck's close. I mean, he's right on her heels, but I mean, right now she kind of holds the crown for most bad movies in a row. All right. Do we want to read this, the worst story you've ever heard?
Sure.
All right, we'll start from the beginning because you may not have been with us last hour when we started it.
All right, here we go. On Friday, a federal judge sentenced the people behind an adult website that sold defecation and urination videos and DVDs to jail, ending one of the first federally obscenity trials involving the Internet. Michael J. Corbett and his ex-wife Sharon, who were married at the time, when they were running the site in question, pled guilty to one count of mailing obscene material in August. The couple had run the website girlspooping.com when they sold titles such as Outdoor Pooping Paradise that showed 10 women defecating outdoors and an enema tape called Simone's Daddy's Little Girl.
Like, all you need to hear is enema tape, you know? Once you hear those four syllables, pretty much it's you've entered a realm where I don't really need to know any more information. And yet, what is it, Simone's Daddy's Little Girl?
Yeah.
All right.
Now, the Corbett's earned $70,000 in 3 months, shipping out 6 to 30 orders a day throughout the U.S.
30 orders a day, and that's just in this, and that's not even to Germany. That's just in this country. $70,000.
Now, this is, by the way, from Beckley, West Virginia.
All right, and they actually noted at one point here in the article that it girlspooping.com. And why does it have to be girls? I mean, that's the thing I wonder about. It's like, look, friend, whatever your pleasure, but I mean.
Enough's enough.
Why? Yeah, but why does it have to be girls? I mean, it seems like at that point, like, is there really a discernible difference? Do you know what I mean? Like, it seems like when you get an extreme enough close-up, pretty much it could be anybody or anything. It doesn't really matter. You know what I mean?
You're giving this too much thought.
Okay, but listen to this, though. The website, which I will not repeat again, offered 53 titles. 53 titles, which not only means, that means several things. It means, first of all, imagine being the guy who had to film that. Like, imagine being, like, answering an ad, wanted, photographer for, you know, And it's like, just, you know, that's a, you just want to kill yourself every day when they get out of bed. Secondly, they found 53 videos worth of women to do that. I mean, imagine how much money they would have to pay you for that to be your job. Imagine how many, like, imagine how deep your dental bills would have to be. How many student loans you'd have to have before you do that. And that they had enough demand for 53 titles to exist.
It's incredible, isn't it?
All right. Do we have anything else we want to get through here?
Let's see here. Oh, we do.
Let's do one more thing here before the break.
All right, we won't then.
All right, well, we'll do. Well, we got sound bites on the other side, though. What are they?
We're going to talk to Hilary Duff, who plays Lorraine, one of 12 kids in the family film Cheaper by the Dozen.
That's enough to hold you right there. Yeah. Hilary Duff around the corner. Later on, Jolie from the front desk with How Chicks Think. We got today's top five coming up in the third hour. We got the top five non-traditional holiday films of all time. Here's James Brown. We'll be back. It's a Rick Emerson Show.
Hitch up your reindeer, go straight to the ghetto. Santa Claus, go straight to the ghetto. Tell him James Brown sent you, go straight to the ghetto.
Rick Emerson, live from Portland, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Here's we can officially start the gayest conversation ever. Rick, you're wrong. The greatest musical ever is the Rocky Horror Picture Show. Yeah, like that could ever be true.
Oh, it's very good.
I can't believe you, of all people, consider Sound of Music as the greatest ever. I love you, Rick, but I got to call you out on this one. Thanks, Kevin and the Coove. Of course it's the Sound. If it's not the Sound of Music, and of course it's not the Rocky Horror Picture Show, then what would it be?
Well, I guess it would be West Side Story. That is a great one.
That's what I'm saying. It's got to be one or the other. It's got to be Singing Nazis or Singing Gangs. That's the only thing that could be number one. All right, let's start with the traffic.
From the KOTK Newsroom, here's your Northwest update.
129, Tim Riley with the news. Brought to you by Heritage for the Blind. Don't sell or trade it. Call 1-800-2-DONATE. Donate that car to Heritage for the Blind. That's 1-800-2-DONATE. Or go to taxdeduction.com. Sean Astin plays Sam, the faithful gardener who guides Frodo on his journey in Return of the King. Sean explains who Sam is and his job as a gardener.
A faithful hobbit of the Shire, who at the beginning of the trilogy, the beginning of the adventure, isn't interested in too much more than gardening and rosy cotton and working for Mr. Frodo Baggins, as his father had worked for Bilbo Baggins. So it's a great tradition, the tradition of the gardener, a revered position in hobbit society.
Well, that sounds good. Tell us about Frodo and his curiosity of the outside world.
Frodo, when they're living in the Shire, looks outside of the Shire. He looks to learn Elvish and is curious about the outside world, which I know Tolkien says several times is sort of a curious way for a hobbit to be. I think that's what Bilbo really likes about Frodo, is that he is curious and that he does want more for himself than just what is given to him in the Shire.
Why are there hobbits in this story?
What hobbits represent are what's really at stake in the story. Being able to live in a world that's healthy and clean, where you have air to breathe and water to drink and food and friends and good fun, that's ultimately what's worth fighting for. So I think that's why the hobbits are considered the heart of the movie, because they represent that in the movie.
It's a good movie. Make sure you see it. Portland Metro forecast for this afternoon. Partly cloudy skies. Highs about 50. Cloudy and a chance of rain after midnight. Lows about 40. Tim Riley, KOTK News.
Call now to join us. 503-250-1080 or 1-800-727-5955. Rick Emerson, only from Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right, it's 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. It's Monday. And don't forget, coming up this Wednesday, we got our annual Christmas Eve show. We're going to be pre-taping that. So you'll hear a brand new news hour, brand new 1 o'clock hour. And then this coming Wednesday, you'll hear our annual production of Santa Claus Behind the Christmas. So you want to be listening for that. And that's coming up this Wednesday on the Rick Emerson Show on Christmas Eve. We got the crap to get through here. Subject line, greatest musical ever. Rick, it's The Nightmare Before Christmas, obviously. How could you ignore any musical with the line, kidnap Santa Claus, beat him with a stick? Well, that is a fair point. Get with the program, bitch. F Matt with the Oogie Boogeyman.
This F Matt is brought to you by EditHere.com.
I'm sorry, it's a fair enough point, but I'm just saying. Rick, I never really thought we'd have a day where there's a bunch of dudes arguing about what the greatest musical is. Rick, Grease, dude, is obviously the greatest musical ever. And let's see, then Robin says, how could you forget South Park? I mean, yeah, it's fair enough. South Park, the musical. Yeah, I mean, I suppose.
I'm just making the observations.
It's what I do here. I make observations. Coming up later on the hour, we've got Jolie from the front desk going to be here with How Chicks Think. And then coming up in the third hour of the show, we got today's top five. Top five non-traditional holiday films of all time. Rick, the best musical is obviously Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. Said my second favorite is Lost Horizon. Oh, that's Eric. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I don't want to start a whole thing about it, so we're just going to move on.
We're going to move on to other things that are not going to work. Not going to spark unpleasantness. Two things before we get to, because we're going to take a break here early. So we do this. We're going to come back with Jolie on the other side. I want to thank the person who sent me this clipping out of the Willamette, by the way. There's a whole series of they got these classifieds they do in the back, kind of back by the wild encounters section or whatever, where people are looking for someone to be doused with hot candle wax. There's a whole section of Christmas gifts in the back. And there's this one. Angry at the one person you can live without? Send an anonymous Oregon-assisted suicide gift certificate. Followed by this, followed by tribal belly dance lessons. Belly dance lessons are interesting to me because it's something that women think that men find sexy that men do not find sexy. There's no man on planet, there's no man in America, anyway, who finds belly dancing to be anything but embarrassing to watch.
Really?
Belly dancing is, God forbid, especially if it's like a woman that you're with, like if it's your wife or something or your girlfriend. You don't want to, this is like when Cosmopolitan gives you these tips on how to revive, put the spark back in your sex life or something. It's like, well, the light has gone out of our romantic life, and Cosmo will give you these long articles on like how to, if you're like some 45-year-old housewife and your husband doesn't want to bone you anymore, and they'll try to give you tips on how to how to rekindle the flame of desire. And they'll have these long articles about how you're supposed to perform an exotic striptease for him in the bedroom. It's just embarrassing for the guy, and probably for you too if you're the woman. Installing a brass pole in your bedroom is not going to make your husband think that you're 18 anymore, nor is it going to make him feel like he's 18 anymore. It's just going to be something that both of you want to get drunk later to forget. Really, you could just skip the stripping and just get to the getting drunk. You know what I mean? You get right to that because that really is going to be what does the trick. You just skip the pole and go right to the bottle. So you don't want to worry. But and belly dancing is also one of those things that, I've never really seen a hot girl who belly dances. There are always these chicks that you kind of got to have a belly to do the belly dance, I guess. There's some rule because there are all these girls that have got a little bit of the spare tire there and they, a spare tire wrapped in metal, and waving in front of your face. All it makes you want to do is go watch bad porn on Cinemax to wash the taste out of your brain, So just skip it. Don't belly dance. Don't especially belly dance for some guy that you're trying to make attractive. It's just not going to work. And then follow below that is free baby bunnies will fit in Christmas stockings. Need good homes. Because that's what you want to do, is you can take a small living animal and stuff it into a tight sock for a few hours before your irascible six-year-old gets a hold of it and ends up tossing it inadvertently into the fireplace on Christmas morning. Good times for everyone. This email says, 1080 Girl Samantha, Rick, shame on any of your listeners who didn't show up at Stars on Saturday to see 1080 Girl Sam perform. My boyfriend and I went in at about 3 p.m. and stayed until about 5. As far as we knew, we were the only listeners there. Actually, it's not true. I got a bunch of emails from a bunch of listeners, a bunch of dudes especially, who went to Stars. I know the guys in Lopez went to see her. Went to see Sam perform. But it's like, guys, here's the thing, is that guys that go to strip clubs, unless they've gone there with their friends, like, if you've gone there, a bunch of dudes get in a car and they all caravan to the strip club place together, guys just sort of tend to sit and be, self-contained units in the strip club. They don't get up. They don't mingle with other customers. They don't, guys don't sit and, slap backs with other dudes in a strip club that they don't know. You kind of go to a strip club, you sit at your table, you drink your $9 iced tea, and you just sort of keep to yourself. That's kind of what guys do. Sam was sweet and without a doubt the hottest woman in the place. My boyfriend bought me a lap dance from her. We had a blast. You missed out. That's Kim in Raleigh Hills. So, there you go. And finally, we've got this. Rick,
Could you hook a brother up with the name of the Christmas rap tune with Snoop Dogg you've been playing on your show recently? Thanks, Zizzle, much a result. Something.
That's from Thomas.
Yeah, it's called The Night Before Christmas. It's by the Dog Pound. It's a Snoop Dogg and Nate Dogg. And we will, as the kids say, go ahead and bust that out for you. Here, we got more on the way. Around the corner, Jolie from the front desk with How Chicks Think. Later on, today's top five. Top five non-traditional holiday movies of all time. Here's The Night Before Christmas from the Dog Pound on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK. Don't go anywhere.
Was the night before Christmas, and all through the hood, ain't that was stirring. Nope, it was all good.
The stocking was hung on my big fat. He was hoping to get some of that good from old Jolly Saint Nick.
The children were snuggled up, sleeping in bed. My bitch on my jock, giving holiday.
When outside my crib, there rose such a clatter. I stuck my head out and yelled, "What the f*** is the matter?"
Then a fat red pimp got out of his ride. It was perfectly clear he was from the north side.
Yo, Santa, what's up? Did you bring me some chronic? And Tangeray gin, I can mix with my tonic.
Said, ho, 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 and opened his sack. It was stuffed full of endo. Had to take a step back.
Is this for the dog? Did you bring this for me? To blaze with my hoes and my closest homie?
He just nodded his head, his eyes about shut. It was then that I knew that St. Nick was f***ed up.
He ate all my motherfucking cookies. I left on the plate. Then he went in the fridge. And he ate and he ate and that fat motherfucker ate.
And when he was done, when the cupboard was bare, he packed his shit up and got out of there.
Good night, doggy dog. He said from the side. Merry Christmas to all you motherfuckers. And to all a good high. Merry Christmas.
From the Dog Pound.
And everybody, have a happy new year. Ho, ho, ho.
How you laugh, dog?
Live from Portland, it's Rick Emerson, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Call now to join us, 503-250-1080 or 1-800-727-5955. Rick Emerson, only from Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
It's 503-250-1080 in Portland, 1-800-727-5955. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Coming up here in just a few moments, we got the Jolie from the front desk with How Chicks Think. Later on in the show, today's top five. Top five non-traditional holiday films of all time. I'm just looking at the Entertainment Weekly, though. And the Entertainment Weekly, first of all, it's got this... I'm the only one... Am I the only one now here who hasn't seen Return of the King? Is that it? Is it... I'm the sole loser, because I know Tim saw it.
No, I didn't get to go see it. Right. I was going to tonight, but that's changed.
Yeah, okay. So, but I did that thing last night where I was, like, flipping around, you know, on the movie channel or whatever, and the midnight, and the Two Towers was on, and it just start, and it's like you want to quit watching, because you're looking at the clock, and, you know, and the time is just ticking away, and you're counting off. Do you do this, too, when you're up late at night? One of two things. Either you've got insomnia, you know, you can't sleep, or you're up at night, and you're whatever, you're watching Two Towers, you're... You know, what? If you're of a geekier stripe, you're playing it like an illegally downloaded version of Halo 2 that you've gotten off the internet or something. And you're sitting there and you're looking at the clock and you're going, okay, Okay, I can get by with 6 hours. You really only need 6 hours of sleep. Okay, that's fine. And then you look up and it's an hour later and you're like, okay, I've gone with 5 hours of sleep. I've done that. It's not like the first time. And then you start rationalizing to yourself ways that you can get by with less sleep than you're really supposed to. So that's me. But I'm looking through this list of this Entertainment Weekly, and they're doing the what everybody's favorite section of the year is, whether they admit it or not, it's the Dead Parade. It's just like at the Oscars or the Emmys where they reel off all the people who've died this year. And every year they do this, and they list off everybody who snuffed it, and it's always like, I've forgotten them all. You know what I mean? It's like people you completely forgot that they died because it seems like it was 10 years ago. Or there's people... And it's like you were only vaguely sure about whether they were dead or alive to begin with, and so it just slipped your brain because you couldn't ever really keep it straight in your head. For example, Katharine Hepburn. I completely forgot.
That was my first thought when I saw that, too.
Yes, so Katharine Hepburn died apparently this year, I guess, June 29th of this year, and I sort of thought she'd been dead for a long time, you know? I guess not, though. I guess Katharine Hepburn just died. And then there's Johnny Cash, I guess. And then there's Maurice Gibb. And Maurice Gibb is totally one of those guys that I thought it had been years already since he died. So I got another. So we'll go through the whole list later on. We'll roll out the big dead list later on the show. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show. Jolie from the front desk for another exciting edition of How Chicks Think. How are you, sister?
Well, you know, Rick, it's just one thing after another for me.
Okay. Is there anything I can do to stop you from sharing it with us?
Oh, I thought you were going to be nice and ask me what's wrong. God, it's Christmas, Rick.
What's wrong?
Well, yesterday I was getting out my Christmas stuff.
All right, let me just interrupt you, though, just to say this, that this is really all you need to do to seduce any woman, is just to say, what's wrong? And then be willing to sit up till 3 in the morning listening.
You know, you have become so smart, Rick.
You're in like Flynn. That's all you have to do, man. Just go.
I didn't realize how much power I had over you.
Just be willing to listen for 6 hours, and then you're in. Yeah, okay.
That's right. So. I tripped over a present and fell all the stairs and smacked my kneecap right on the corner of the
how
metal part.
How appropriate that you tripped over a material possession. It was probably a present for you, wasn't it?
No, it was not. It was for my niece.
All right. I'm just saying. Is this the cute niece?
With no teeth? Okay. Yeah, Rick. She's,
sorry.
Remember, 7.
I'm just asking.
Speaking of 7.
Yes.
Today, you know, I'm going to tell you some different things. Because I thought, we didn't really, you know, get a question. So I decided that, well, you're so smart with all those things that you just said. So in addition to all the gifts that, you know, that we get during Christmas time, there are 7 things that women want to hear.
Is this a list you've just stolen from someone?
What? No, Rick, I don't steal it.
Is this something I find on the internet? Is this one of those things that gets passed around from woman to woman online?
No, not this. No.
All right.
This is, you know, you search and you find articles and things, and
this
that's
is one of this one's posted at Cosmo for everyone.
I was
going to
say, is this like someone's Amazon wish list? Is this like the 7 things I'm supposed to be buying you this holiday season?
No, it's not purchases, Rick. It's things.
Like what? I have no idea what you're talking about.
Things you want. Okay, then I'll just go through the list. Okay, number 1. All right, here's what you got to say to the lady. You fill in the blank, okay, and you want to say, would you like to...
Is this 7 compliments I'm supposed to give you?
No, this is just things. Things that women want to hear, okay? So let's keep your mind open.
There's really
let's
just
go with
one,
that.
It's just yes. That's all women want to hear. Just yes.
Well, that's true, too, but here's some other things. But we want more than just that.
Uh-huh.
We want you to say, would you like to blank? So you can talk about plans for the next date or, you know... not sex. Anything like that.
Isn't it a lot
something
easier?
Something romantic.
Isn't it a lot easier if we don't say anything, if we just give you a Visa card and be quiet? And then you can just, you know, that's really kind of what you want.
That's like
it?
The gift certificate, Rick. There's no effort involved.
Yeah,
nothing,
okay. All right.
You know?
Okay.
And this only, this not only displays common courtesy, you know, but it shows the woman that you respect her. Number 2, this is what you say if you want to get in. Every day I find something else about you that I like.
Okay.
This tells the woman that she's unique.
And that'll only sound kind of insincere after 15 years. All right.
Well, you can kind of shape it in a different way.
Uh-huh.
All right. And then 3 is, I've never met anyone like you.
Okay. Is that like saying, you know, I've never done this before, or this is the first time, or you're the only person that I let, you know, whatever?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, but it's you know, definitely better than you don't want to say something like, you remind me of my ex-wife, but in a good way.
You're okay. Just like this girl I used to date. Women love to hear that.
But, yeah.
Yeah.
So, because we want to hear compliments, you know, and that's good. It's good stuff. And then, this is a good one, like you were talking about, just listen to the woman for 6 hours. Tell me about your day. That's what we want to hear.
Tell me about your day, too, is like, I forget who made this observation, but tell me about your day is like, that's a whole... I mean, you know, that's just like, a, you know what it is? That's the Duraflame log of conversations, because it's like you can just set it and forget it, you know? You can just start that and walk away, and it's good for the rest of the night.
Yeah.
And you don't even, and you just need to just kind of go, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
See, now that's so the thing. This is an interesting thing. I do like, my dad is one of those people that doesn't say anything, you know? And you got to say something, you got to do something, like you were saying the other day. You have to say, mm-hmm, yeah, you know, shake your head a little bit. But one time, there was this lady that I was talking to, and she did that like every 2 seconds. I'm serious. She would be like, mm-hmm, yeah, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Well, you
yeah.
don't even
and
need
I'm
to
like,
really
God,
engage
stop.
In a conversation, though. You just
yeah.
need to sort of signify that you're listening. That's kind of all you need to do.
That is important.
All right.
But beware, she may pop quiz you after.
Yep. Which, yeah, she'll give you like a multiple choice about what her day was. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, number five is, I love the way you fill in the blank again. Like, sip your Chardonnay, fold your pajamas, wiggle your... Uh-huh. Oh, it got cut off.
Sit there okay. silently and not bother me.
I love the way that you leave me alone and don't ask me for money or to engage in any social activities with any of your friends.
I love the way that you make the meal. I love the way you cut the salad. I love the way... You clean the house.
This is the dumbest list you've ever had. This is the dumbest,
this is
most
not...
useless list of anything
no,
that you've ever given us.
It's good.
All right.
It's good. There's two more. Would you help me to fill in the blank? And because, remember this, Rick, by nature, women are nurturers. And if you ask for help, whether it's picking out a mother's... some.
See, nurturing is sort of another word for controlling.
No,
when
it
say
is
that women
not.
Are nurturing is sort of another word for smother.
No, Rick.
It really is.
You know, if you didn't have a mother to nurture you, you would not be here.
But how does a mother bird nurture her children? Just by sitting on them. You know, just by sitting on them and smothering them. That's what that takes the form
no,
of.
No, she cares about you. She makes you get things done that you need to get done. You know?
Okay.
Oh.
All right. Okay, are
all
we
right.
done?
No, I have one more, number seven. There's no one like you. Well, remember that.
That is certainly true. All right, we'll be back. It's the Rick Emerson Show.
Rick Emerson, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.